I praise God for, again, the heritage he's given me, both in my family and all the faithful folks here. And that's really a lot what I'm going to talk about this morning. But I wish a happy anniversary. I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad so many others have come. I pray that your heart is one that just desires to see God glorified each time you meet together here, and that you'll fellowship and encourage one another and just keep this great work going. God has been good. And I appreciate you was talking about the Bethel Youth Camp. And of course, as we talk, it's like these memories just kind of jump in every once in a while. And I remember actually going to Paul Trapp's house, and as a youth. And we just spent the night in the house and went out and saw the property. And I got to be part of the putting some shingles on a few of the buildings when they first got going. And, just all kinds of blessings of the Lord. So I wish you a happy anniversary. And I know a lot of you are thinking, I don't know any of these people you're talking about or whatever. But it's your heritage. You wouldn't be here were it not for those blessings. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I do have five children in my family. My dear wife is here, Kathy Young. Her name used to be Jones, if some of you met her before we got married. Met her in the youth department of the church. Great place to meet your spouse, young people. Just hang around the church and get some good godly person in your life. And so I love her to death. She's just been a great help to me. And our ministry, especially with our children, she's a great mother. We have one of our children here because she lives in Ohio, and she's able to drive up here from Medina. This is Julia sitting next to my wife, Kathy, and then her husband. They just been married a few years, and his name is Seth. And so it's good to have them with us today. I have some other, I told them I'd just tell them their names. I have some other relatives here, Rob's wife, Sherry, and then Terry Ballant is Kathy's niece, and of course Matt and Tyler there. A lot of you know Tyler because he's hitting the ball around on the softball field. They're doing a great job. So thank you all for coming. And then Yvonne came to see us. Yvonne Chapman, her name was Chapman back in those days, and praise God for that relationship we've had with those folks. But let's get beyond the name dropping, okay? But I want you to get your Bible and go to Hebrews 11. And I'm not going to read a ton of scripture today, but I do want to refer to a few things. You have my bio in the bulletin, and my family has already been laughing at me because my bio is so long. I said, well, I just wanted to, give a timeline, and it was good for me to kind of remember those things and that heritage that God gave me. But read that later, and if you know me, we'll have a nice chat at lunch and enjoy that time. But my purpose here today, first of all, thank you, Pastor Henry, and we love you, and we appreciate all you did for us and this opportunity. But my purpose here today is just, it was very simple. I just want to thank you. I want to praise God, first of all. Because the scripture says this in 1 Timothy 1:12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And God has enabled me. And if you knew me as a young person, you know that I didn't have a whole lot of tools to work with. And I needed God's enabling. I needed his grace. I needed his mercy in my life in order to get anything done. But my roots are dug deep here, and God has used many of you and many people in the history of this church to allow me to minister through the years. And so I promise you, he put me here. God put me here because I've been scratching my head ever since I left. 33 years ago, I left this church to go to Arlington Baptist College. And I've been scratching my head ever since, just wondering, in disbelief, why God would choose to use me. And but look at this verse. And verse number 6, I want you to go there, if you will. Verse number 6, and this to me is the one of the pinnacles of this chapter, and of course this is the faith chapter. But it says this in verse number 6, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can't do it. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You believe that God is. But that He is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That diligently seek Him. So I want to talk to you a little bit about faith today. And certainly faith is what we need to strive for in our lives. The fact that without faith, we're not going to please God. And so, you know, the honest truth is, when I was a young person, I didn't have a lot of faith. Okay, and I still struggle with it. It's a lifelong challenge in your Christian life to develop faith and to be able to turn those things over to God. We want to hang on, don't we? We want to control our own lives. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. God can do so much more for us than we can do for ourselves if we just let Him have it. Just surrender to Him. My temperament is introverted, shy. I was a non-talker. I wasn't someone who really was very sure of my direction or potential in life. I was just that kind of an introverted fella. I was petrified. You know, we'd go to these youth camps, and I was just petrified. Because every time we came back from a camp or a WBYC down at Arlington, of course, we get up and have to give testimony of that. And I was just petrified. It wasn't because I didn't love my Lord. It was just I was afraid to speak to people, to stand up like this. I never envisioned me to be able to stand behind a pulpit and talk to anybody like this. And so it's only God that I'm here. I was petrified to give testimony. Brother Jimmy Winters, simple routine of our choir practice was just simple, call on one of the young people to pray. So I was back there, and I was just kind of scooting down in my seat. Don't look at me. I'd have to talk in front of these people. And so that is really what it was. Scripture has always got the answer, though, isn't it? It makes me think of Romans 8:26. I'll read it for you. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And so what's that verse saying? It's saying, truly, God just wants you to express your heart to Him, and He'll figure out what it is you're trying to say. So that eloquence of speaking in front of that choir, it just wasn't there. I didn't want to speak up. I didn't want to talk. But God chose to use me for whatever reason. And so knowing myself, my sins, my need, to thank Him, the fact that He saved me, I did want to express that somehow. And God has used music to be a great comfort and encouragement in my life. And I think of a lot of songs from back in those days when I was ministering in Calvary. And Anita used to sing, "Thank you for the valley I walked through today. The darker the valley, the more I learned to pray." And that song ministered to my heart many times. Bronson, maybe some others before him. Here's a song that has just been something that has encouraged me from the beginning. It's an old song. It just says, "Take my life, let it be dedicated, Lord, to Thee. This is my earnest plea. Oh, Jesus, please use me. Thine alone, my one desire. Be Thou a consuming fire. But most of all, Lord, please use me. No matter what I am or what I'm not or what I may ever be, my only prayer is, Jesus, please use me." And that became the prayer of my heart. "Lord, just, I don't know what you can do for me, with me, but just use me if you can." Brother Rick, I don't know if he remembers this. He came one time in young people's group, and he said, you know, tomorrow we're going to be tearing down some walls and restructuring some of our classroom. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm trying to be used. I said, I can tear some stuff up. Okay, I'll be there. I showed up, and I think I was the only one that came that day. And so we worked together and knocked a few walls down and tore some things up. And I said, you know, God could use me in little ways, in big ways, if we'll just have faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I asked Him to use me, and God began convicting my heart, and because of my lack of faith. And so I just began to turn some things over to Him. The little chorus song we used to sing a long time ago, little by little, every day, little by little in every way, Jesus is changing me, He's changing me. But you just got to turn it over to God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That little exercise of knocking down a few walls, I think the Lord used that just to tell Dr. Spracklin maybe that, hey, at least he'll do some work. And so I got hired. I got hired not right after that, but a little bit later. And I was able to minister by cleaning the church up, by helping with some of the mowing and the painting. I dropped a big bucket of paint off a ladder and just splattered it all over the sidewalk one day. It took forever to clean up. But, just fumbling around, but just trying to do something that God would use me with. And so I that was a blessing. Not only was it a blessing that I got a paycheck as a young man, that isn't even the half of it. But the truth of the matter is that I was privileged to be around some men of God, some people of God around that church, not just men. Sandy Hilton, I think, was working in the daycare back then, and what a blessing. When you hang around people that love the Lord and are God-honoring, that are faithful, that have spent some time in their life realizing what God is to them and what He can be to you, it makes a huge difference and a huge change in your life. I've often wondered what my life would be if I have not had so many of those God-honoring people in my life. Certainly started with my parents, but Brother Rick, here I am name dropping again. J.B. Cagle, I always got a kick out of him. He'd come in and he'd say, did you get over it? And I'm here to tell you today, I wish he was here that I could tell him, I'm not over it. God has given me so much in my life, and I haven't got over that. He has saved me, and He's kept me, and He's directed me, and He's given me all I stand in need of. I often think of that old movie that we watch a lot of times around Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, you know. And the theology is a little off in there, but the reality is the moral of the story is that if your faithfulness to God in your life in big and little ways will please Him and have life-changing effects on others. Brother Tony was just giving a testimony of a student he is taught in the years, and just how much just a little encouragement just brought that student and encouraged him. I remember, my didn't it rain. I know song about everything, but anyway, hang in there. I started to say, just little encouragements. I remember Audrey Miller. Audrey didn't make it today, did she? Is she here? No, I don't see her, but praise God. She'd just come up and say, would you play that and sing that song about Jesus and the sandals? And I don't know if you ever heard the song, I'm the One That Jesus Died For. And I used to sing that. And it just encouraged me. Hey, maybe somebody actually can benefit from the ministering that God has allowed me to do. And so that was an encouragement to me. And so hang around all these pastors and stuff, and Brother Rick, and of course Dr. Spracklin, those faithful messages for so many years, and Bronson, what a jokester and a character he was, but I enjoyed being around him. Those things built built my life, made me thankful for my salvation, thankful for the fact that God could use even me. And so there's, you know, many lessons were taught and given to me, but many others were just caught. You know, you just from the folks that are around you. So for 59 years, the people of this church have been on this journey, and we've been on a journey to the degree that we have lived by faith is the degree to which we have pleased God. And everything we have done may not have been living by faith. Everything you personally do may not have been living by faith. But God is a forgiving and loving God, and He wants to just be the God of the second chance with you. Amen? I think about it in our culture, in our society, and we've talked about this, but the reality is that many people, even in Christian churches, are practicing idolatry. And here's what I mean by that. Idolatry is simply making up God. Okay? You make Him up to what you want Him to be, rather than looking into Scriptures and find out who He really is. And our society is permeated with folks like that. We think, you know, if my God would just be this way, then I'd serve Him. But if He is this other way, we'll just leave that alone. It's kind of like a buffet or something, you know. I like fried chicken, so I'm going to take that part of it. But I don't like, you know, these broccoli florets or whatever, you know. And so we kind of idolatry takes place. And it's the idea, again, that we make up God. The Christ of the Bible, however, can and will lead you to trust Him. If we'll trust Him and have that faith, we'll please Him. And He'll direct us and give us a great direction in our life. The verse number one in that same chapter defines faith. And it says this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. That's verse number one. It's hope that you can grab a hold of. It has substance. You can see where it lives. Okay? There's evidence in the lives of those who possess it, those who experience it. And so faith is a very real thing. What it is not, it's not wishing and wanting and trying and hoping and striving. Those aren't the things. It has substance. It has evidence. But truthfully, you know, when you start thinking about the word faith, we use it in our society just kind of flippantly. It's, you know, everybody has a system of beliefs. Every one of us do. They believe in someone or something. It might be themselves. Might be a God or a God or an idol. But everyone has something they believe in. We kind of use the word faith almost like we use the word religion, you know. And a lot of people have religion, but that religion might be humanism. It might be atheism. But we need to consider the person of faith. You know, and we talk about that in those terms sometimes. You know, you're a person of faith. You are in a faith community. But the reality is that we've got to hone that truth in, take it back to God's Word, and realize that real biblical truth, real biblical faith, it's with that type of faith, it's without that, rather, it's impossible to please God. And Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I look at this chapter. We won't read all this, but you know, you have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, all these different folks that are mentioned. And one of the interesting thing in verse number 39, I think it is. Is the fact that it says that they received not the promise. In other words, their faith was so strong that they didn't really see where it was supposed to lead to. God told them, Abraham, you're going to have a great nation, and you're going to have this land that you can, that promised land that you can go to, but you're not going to see that in your lifetime. And there's some things that we need to do in faith just to know that the future generations are going to continue to benefit from it. God will fulfill His promises in His way and in His time. And praise God for that those promises. But we don't always see them. And so don't make up God. Don't try to just say, God, if you really were real, you should do it this way. That's not true faith. Before you can have living faith, you need to have saving faith. That saving faith gives you a dying faith. I don't know, Pastor, I'm sure you've been at many hospitals and deathbeds where you see folks and you see entirely different reactions at that moment when they know, hey, life is going to be gone for me, and it brings fear on some and it brings joy and peace in others. I trust this morning that you'll look at this talking about faith and realize whether or not you have saving faith, whether or not you can say that when I die from this life, I know that I'll spend an eternity with Christ. That classic verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, listen to this, believeth in Him shall have not perish, but have everlasting life. In Him. Faith has to be placed somewhere. It's not this thing that just floats around in space. You have to place it somewhere. It doesn't exist on its own. And so it's the in Him that matters. It's the fact that you trust and have faith in the Christ of the Bible. And what is necessary for you to go to heaven is to believe what Christ said. And that is that He died according to the Scriptures, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures, that He is our salvation. Our faith has to be placed in Him. And until you have that saving faith, your life will never be able to experience living faith or dying faith. And so I challenge you, if you not know the Lord, that you'd come to Him today. That has been the mission of this church for 59 years, and it does not change. I told Brother Henry this morning, I said, I've been sermon stalking you a little bit. Okay, I just wanted to hear him preach a few times. And so I got on the internet on your website, and I just listened to several lessons. Part of the reason that got me going that way, I called in and talked to Rosalind, and she said, you know, Pastor's been doing a series on evangelism and discipleship, and that was kind of where my head was going, you know, with the lesson today. And so I thought, well, I'll just at least see where he's been. But it was just a blessing. Pastor Rick has been faithful, and he's pleased God because he's been faithful. And he preaches the same today with the same fervor. And you saw his tender heart even this morning as he spoke. And that means a lot to me. Because he affected my life in a great way, and I praise God for it. And I've got to be careful. I'll start blubbering up here. But God's good. God is good. He's faithful. I want to, you know, do a couple of things here. I want to sing a couple songs for you. I know I've put a few excerpts in here and there in the message. But there's just a song. It's just entitled God's Word. And in this song are many scriptures that will tell you, if you don't know that Savior that we're talking about, tell you who He is and how you can come to Him. And so let me share that with you. The rest of you, this is a test. Where are these verses found? Amen? Just think about it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot the kingdom of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word. Amen. Thank you. I want to leave you with this thought, and it's just right about time, and I know you're smelling the barbecue already, probably. All right? But praise God. Faith in yourself is pride. Right? We understand that. Faith in others is disappointment. They're going to disappoint you. Faith in Christ is an eternity in a heavenly home, and an abundant life with peace, with joy, with fulfillment, and even in the midst of a lot of trials that you're going to go through in life, you can have that peace, that dying faith when you come to that point. So your story continues. 59 years is just a start. But let me be honest with you, the statistics aren't good for churches this age. There's a lot of them dropping off. Why? Because they get complacent and they lose their vision. And so I just want to challenge you to keep your faith. Christ is enough to save you. He's enough to guide you. And he's enough to keep you. So I want you to have faith. I'm going to sing one other song and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Rick. But it just says, he's always enough. Looking back and thinking, I can see where God has led. The mountaintops of victory, the tears that have been shed. And even though I failed him in so many different ways, it almost seems I've heard the voice of Jesus gently say, I'm always enough, I'm all you will ever need. When you're finally tired of walking on your own, just reach out.
the broken dreams and plans. We do our best to hide the pain and face it on our own, forgetting that those burdens are not ours to bear alone. He's always enough. He's all you will ever need. When you're finally tired of walking on your own, just reach out your hand. He promised to meet your every need. Let go of your pride. He's still by your side. And he's always enough.